If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Malachi. Those of you that have trouble finding some of these books I preach from, if you'll just turn to Matthew and go back one time. Glory. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Amen. This guy was important because if you realize when he finished talking, it was 4,000 years before anybody else said anything. Hello? He was the last prophet before the New Testament began. And there was a long silence as God was communicating, but not openly with everybody, and there wasn't any writing went on. But this man had some very great words to tell us this morning. Amen. I want everybody to be ready. You know, ain't nothing worse than just trying to go somewhere and not have your bags packed. Because if you try to pack right at the last minute, you're always going to leave something out. Hello? So you always prepare to leave before you leave. Now, you're not like my wife. If she's leaving next month, she's preparing today. You know, a day or two ahead of time is all I need. But get it ready so when the time comes to go, you ain't in there throwing stuff in a bag hoping you got it all. Amen. Listen to Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. It said, even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. But return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? But yet ye have robbed me by, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast their fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? But ye said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I wake up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve God and him that serveth him not. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, Lord, and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, we need to get back. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning on a subject I'd simply entitle A Call to Return. I want you to focus on what God has said. He said, return unto me and I will return unto you. You know, the great thing about God is he's promised he'll never leave us. So if there's a gap between us and God, it's because we walked away. It's because we turned our back on something God was trying to do in our life and we left it. But can I tell you, many today have gone away from the Lord and don't realize how far that they've gone. They've evolved into a state of what I call dormant Christianity. Their church relationship with God has become a tired friendship. It's kind of like I got to decide, do I go to church this morning or do I wait and go next week? Or do I just decide if I'm going to go this month at all? Hello? Come on, church, smile at me. You know what I'm talking about. If going to church has become a drudgery to you, there's something wrong in your relationship. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we ought to come to this building with a song in our heart, a little spring in our heels, because we understand this is a place I know that I know that I know I'm going to come in contact with God. This is his house. Could you say amen? Praise God. When I was a kid and I got to go to my grandmother's, I used to enjoy that. Amen. I'd go to my grandmom's and be over there. Of course, I'd have to put up with my pawpaw trying to make me speak German, getting mad at me because I wouldn't, mainly because I couldn't. Glory. I knew a few words, but I never would say them. I remember the last time I saw him, I walked by him, hugged his neck. As I stepped away from him, I said, "Ich leben Sie," and he hit me with a cane anyway. He said, "I knew you could speak the mother language." Glory. I had no idea that he would die 3 days later, but the greatest thing in my life was I remember the last thing I said to him was, "I love you," in German, and it made his whole life. Amen. You know, and I get to go to Mamie and Lomer's. Now, you got to understand, that's my mom's mom and dad, but I couldn't call them Pawpaw and Momaw, because if you call Mamie Momaw, Granny, or anything other than Mamie, she'd beat you upside the head with something, and she would remember. She was worse than an elephant. You might not get it then, but you walk by the next day and land on the floor because she'd pop you upside the back of the head. I am not your granny. Hello? She's a good Church of God woman. Amen. Believed in God, believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But she'd work on us heathens. Glory. Amen. She'd come to the house and be praying. She never prayed out loud. She'd get in there beside the bed just. And for some reason, I was the youngest one, so I was the last one to wake up. But it'd get me after a while. I'd get up, man, I couldn't sleep, and I'd go outside, and there'd be my brothers and my dad and my uncle, amen, which was her oldest, her only son left alive, who was about the same age as my oldest brother, and they were real close friends. We'd get out there, and they said, "Let's go fishing." Mamie's praying. And we just go fishing. We'd go sleep in that house because she's in there. Save them, God, save them. You know, my dad, a backslid preacher, and the rest of us heathens, we wasn't going to stay in that house because she was praying for us to get saved, and the Spirit of God moving through that house, hitting us. Come on, church. Amen. But you know, I used to get excited when I got to go to Mamie's house. I got to go to my grandmama's house because suddenly there was something about going somewhere I didn't get to go all the time. And you know, when I got saved, I started thinking about going to heaven that way. And I got excited about living for God because I realized one day I'm going to get to go to the big house. Amen. I'm going to get to leave here, and I don't want to get left behind. So I want to make sure I got everything lined up so I'm ready. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. I want to be so close to God that every time he moves, I feel the wind. Amen. Glory. But you say, "Preacher, well, that's not possible." Yes, it is. You can get so close to God that every time he moves, he has to slide you out of the way to make a step. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. But now listen. Many of us today have gotten into that tired friendship, and we've lost something, and some of us don't even realize it's gone. Hello? Y'all remember Samson? Oh, he thought he was living right. He'd play around with the world, and then he'd go back and do what God wanted him to do, and he'd get a hold of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God would hit him, and he'd do some great works, and he'd think, because every once in a while he got a little anointing, he was all right. Y'all may not believe this, but we got folks in church that think, because every once in a while they feel a little doodad run up their back, everything's okay. But just because you get emotionally excited doesn't always mean everything's going to be all right. Come on, church. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Listen, the Judges chapter, listen to what it said. The Philistine woman is making fun of Samson, and she's trying to find out what his strength is. And notice this, she finally tells her that he has a covenant with God that he's not supposed to cut his hair. Now, several times he told her different things, and she'd say, "The Philistines are on thee," and he'd break the bondage that had her in, and he'd go out and whip them Philistines like he did in the times past. But notice this, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, and Samson, upon thee, Samson," and he awoke out of his sleep. And he said, "I will go out as at other times before." And he shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He got up and went out there and started dancing around and shouting and carrying on. And the enemy went ahead and tied him up, took him down, put his eyes out, made sport out of him. Can I tell you, the devil don't care how much you shout. He don't care how much you do a jig. He don't care how much you get happy. What he don't like is when you really get close to God and get down on your knees and begin to make intercession with him and commune with him. And the devil could care less how much you do the other. And can I tell you, you can shout and not have a real relationship with God. Amen. But you can't have a real relationship with God that you don't get emotional every once in a while and feel the presence of God. Could you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Samuel goes to anoint David king, and all of a sudden God says, hey, I anointed Saul at one time, but Saul went against me, and because Saul didn't do what I asked him to do, I have withdrawn my anointing from him, and I have rejected him. And I want to tell you something, honey. Some of us needs to realize Saul had no clue it was gone. He kept thinking, I'm king. I'm really there because I still got my position. I still got everything going. Can I tell you, just because you got stuff in this world don't mean you're where you need to be with God? I know a lot of people that are loaded in this world. They got everything you could ever ask for, but that does not mean they have a relationship with God. That's why so many millionaires commit suicide and kill themselves and die horrible deaths. It's because they're not happy with what they got. They're not satisfied with what's there. But I can tell you this, I've known people didn't have enough money to pay themselves attention, but they had a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory and a peace that passed all understanding. Could you say amen? Listen, you said, preacher, can you prove that? Third chapter, book of Revelation. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things with the amen and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. For I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. For behold, I stand at the door. How many times we heard preachers use that and say, now sinner friend, God's talking to you. But he's writing a letter to the church folks when he said, I'm at the door and you've closed the door, and I'm on the other side and I'm knocking on the door. So he's saying, there come times when you close your Bible and you quit praying, and I'm not in communication with you, but I want to be, and I'm knocking on the door, and if you'll just open the door, I'm going to come in unto you and I'm going to sup with you. Can I tell you this morning, though you may have turned your back on God, it's not too late to turn around. He's standing at the door saying, hey, I want to get back in fellowship. I want to know you, and I want to walk with you in the cool of the day like I did the people in the Garden of Eden. And all you got to do is come back. When you take that step toward me, I'm coming at you, and we're going to come back together in the love that I had in the original state. Glory. The one thing I love about my God, he's a God who gives second chances. There are degrees of relationship with God. Some have a hot experience, some lukewarm, some just downright cold. Hello? But you can also tell that there are going to be degrees also of fellowship with God. There are some that they're happy to follow somewhere out there, just afar off. They just back there. Just as long as they're on the right road, they figure they'll eventually find the right place. Come on, church. They hope they got a GPS somewhere in case they missed the turn. Amen. There's some others that like to get a little closer. Hello? But there's a few that makes up their mind, I'm getting in the inner circle. Come on, church. Amen. You ever notice in the disciples you had that laid out? Man, you had 9 of them that were in the group. They went everywhere they went. But whenever Jesus done something special, he carried 3 of them with him because they were different from the rest of them. Now, did he love them different? No. But those men had an effort to be closer to God than the other 9. So whenever he went somewhere, he carried those guys with him. But you ever notice there was one of them that went everywhere he went? When they took him to the judgment hall, he went inside with him while the rest was outside trying to say, I don't even know who he is. Oh, no, I've not been around that guy. But John was in there with him. When they hung him on the cross, none of the rest of them were to be found, but John was standing at his feet. And he even made an adoption while he was there and said, from now on, you be my mama's son and take care of her because I'm leaving. I need somebody I know can take care of him. You say, preacher, did that help him? He's the only one of those 12 that died a natural death. The rest of them had horrible things happen to him. But I mean, even when they tried to do horrible things to this guy, it didn't work. They tried to boil him in oil. He liked the heat. He thought it was good for his rheumatiz. Glory. Hello? They put him in a vat of oil, heated it up, and he was telling them, hey, put another stick on that. This feels good. They got upset, took him out, put him on a boat, carried him to Patmos. It's an island where they left people to die. Nothing there but bad water, poisonous snakes, and a bunch of bones of people that got there before him. They let him out. 2 or 3 weeks later, they come back. They got a group they're taking out there to put on that island to die, and he's out there hollering and carrying on, going, hey, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God gave me a vision that I wrote a book. It's going to be a bestseller. We call it Revelation. Amen. They bring him off the island, and he dies a natural death several years later, and he goes on to be with the Lord. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because he was the one who laid his head on Jesus' chest. He was the one that really got the heartbeat of God. And I'm telling you today, some of us need to make up our mind, I'm not stopping till I get to that place I can hear the heartbeat of my Lord. Lord. Notice what Proverbs tells us. The wisest man that ever lived made the statement, Proverbs chapter 14. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Too many of us are self-deceived into thinking we're okay. Everything's all right. Hello? We've listened to the modern day preacher say, well, you know, we all gonna mess up. Hello? I get so sick of people using excuses for not trying to live right. Come on, church. Now, I mess up. I'm not passed every test. I got a guy got mad at me not long ago because he said, how long you been living for the Lord? I said, oh, 36, 7 years off and on. I've had some off time. And you sanctimonious ones looking at me like that. You have too. You might as well admit it. We ain't passed every test. We've had to get on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry, but I don't get up every morning with a made-up mind. This is another opportunity for me to mess up. We got some people just go out and mess up all day long. Well, I just repent. If you keep doing the same thing, after a while, God gets tired of it. Hello? Because repentance means you turn away from. That means you go on by there and go do something else. I try to make sure if I mess up, it's something else I mess up with. Sometimes I get involved in the same junk mess up, but I have to work on it. Come on, church, smile at me. Y'all acting like y'all ain't never heard nothing like this. Maybe it's time you did. Because we got too many preachers talking about, well, everybody's got to sin. I heard a preacher one time preaching. He said, I went down to the mall today and said, I absolutely lusted 1,000 times. After church, he come by and said, what'd you think about the sermon? I said, if I was your wife, I'd pluck your eyes out, let you be blind so you wouldn't have so much trouble walking around these young-looking girls. Glory. That's what the Bible said, dude. If you can't hold your eyes, pluck them out. He looked at me and said, like you can walk down there and not lust. I said, hey, I'm not looking at them. I said, you know, I quit shopping for a car when I bought one. Hello? You drive by the car lot, your car ain't going to say much, but you guys keep shopping very much. You got a wife going to bust you upside the head. Glory. Smile. Some of y'all get that in a minute. I got a couple of guys, what's he talking about? He was doing good. Now he's off on cars. It'll all tie together if you think about it. Glory. But church, listen. Paul talked about those things. He said, those little foxes that spoil the vine, the little sins that are so easy to beset us. It's those things we just write off as not really being important that can mess you up. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching. Some of us are like the man Jesus prayed for in Mark chapter 8. He took the blind man out of town. Got him out there, and the Bible said he laid hands on him and he prayed for him, and he said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees. You know why? He never really got a complete healing. He's still a little blind, and Jesus laid hands on him again, and all of a sudden he said, oh, I can see without any problem now. Amen. Now, I'm giving you the Ken Stroop version. This is the one I'm writing right now. The one behind me here is the one that's in the Bible. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all had a Bible, you'd have caught it, but it's still the same story. Amen. But notice what happened. When the man finally got to where he could see, what happened? The Bible said he never went back to that town again. He meant, why? Because he said, I can't stay where I was now that I can see. I want to tell you something, the church. I once was blind, but now I can see because of the amazing grace of God, and I can't go back to what I used to be because I know what I was wrong. I can't go back to the things that used to take my life apart because I realized what got me there and where it was taking me. But because I found him, I've come back to him. Could you say amen to that, church? Can I tell you, sin is blind. binding. It is a very binding thing. It'll take away your life. It'll take away your sight. It'll mess up your family. But if you'll get a hold of God, I got a God that said, if you'll come back to me, I will return unto you, and I will restore unto you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the great army that's come against you. I'll give you that you missed while you're on the wrong side of glory. Hallelujah. Notice what Judges chapter 16 said. And Samson called unto the Lord, and he said, O God, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. He remembered. Hello? Solomon, Samson's over there trying to figure out, how in the world did I ever get? Have you ever done that? Sit there and look at everything you messed up and say, how did I get here? What brought me to where I am? And all of a sudden he gets to thinking about it, and he starts remembering when the Spirit of God hit him and he took the gates off the city. He remembered when the Spirit of God touched him as a young man and he slew the lion and tore his mouth open with his hands. He remembered when the Philistines had him tied up, dragging him back, and he broke the bonds and took the jawbone of a dead donkey that was on the side of the road and killed 1,000 of those well-armed men because God had got a hold of it. And in all of that he said, God, one more time, would you just remember me and let me feel your presence again? Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. Some of us need to get into remembrance of what used to be in our life and what used to happen with us. Listen to Revelation chapter 2. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, do your first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. What did he say? Remember from where you were. And when you think about where you were and where you are now, you realize where I'm at. It's nothing compared to what I used to have. Could you say amen? What am I supposed to remember? Listen to what David said. David is a man after God's own heart, but he got his mind on his neighbor's wife. Y'all have heard me make this statement. If David was my next door neighbor, I'd never leave town. Come on. Had a guy tell me one time, said, I don't want people like that in my church. I said, then you want not one person out of the Old Testament that we read about in your church. Because they were all men after God's own heart, but got messed up somehow. And they're there because God wants you to understand, I still take you back because I still love you. And notice what David said in Psalms 143. What brought him back? I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. I remember the lion. I remember the bear. I remember the day I run down the field and balked a giant and hit him with a rock and killed him. I remember when you sent the man to anoint me to make me king over Israel. I remember when I brought the ark, the glory of God, back to Jerusalem, and the Spirit hit me, and I didn't care I was king. I let go of the crown and dropped that robe, and I danced down the middle of the street worshiping you because I understood you were the one to be praised. And one more time, God, would you bless me? One more time, would you touch me? One more time, God, would you bring me back where I used to be? Some of you this morning need to remember where God used to work in your life and say, I don't want it to be a used to be. I want it to be a now experience. And all I got to do is call on the name of the Lord, and God will bring me back. Hebrews chapter 10. But I call to remembrance the former days from which you were first illuminated. Boy, y'all remember when the light first went on? Hello? It used to be a thing my daddy would say about me. He said, boy, one day that light's going to go on. And then I found it in Scripture. Paul said, remember from when thou was first illuminated. Amen. Galatians 4:15. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? Remember Paul talking to the church of Galatia, said, do you remember how you used to talk the blessedness of God, but you don't talk it anymore? There's some things I got to return to. Listen to Revelation chapter 2. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, if you read chapter 2, the first three verses, God commends them on things they're doing. Oh, you're doing great things, but I got somewhat against you. And the King James Version says, because you've left your first love. In the New Living Translation, but I have this complaint against you because you don't love me or each other as you did at first. Hello? You know why people quit reading their Bible? You know why people quit praying? Because they don't love God like they did when they first got right. And everything was important and God was important. But we need to stop every once in a while and just say, God, I love you. Hello? You know, every once in a while, instead of getting on your knees and starting out with a grocery list, you ought to get on your knees, spend the first 10 or 15 minutes just saying, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I need you. I can't make it without you. Listen, Matthew 24 gives us a reason why we have the problem. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I remember years ago, I was at the old campground in Bessemer. Frida's uncle's retired minister lived on the campgrounds, and I got there, and a bunch of the retired guys got together, and they was going to whip this young whippersnapper into order here. They was going to work me over and teach me the old ways. And one of them looked up, and he said, I tell you, the world's tearing our churches up. They just coming right in and said, you young fellas is bringing it in by the wheelbarrow loads. Uncle Clyde looked up, and he said, you know, the world's not coming in the church half as fast as our love for God's dying. And I thought, yeah, preach it, Unc. Glory. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, that's where we are. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for the other. It's not the one with the greatest shield or the spear or the longest sword or the one that's got to quote the most scripture. It's not the one driving the fanciest car or wearing the nicest clothes. It's the one that's got the love of God in them that can change people's lives. And that's what it's all about. Notice what it said, 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If you're having a hard time living right, upset with the way God asked you to live, then maybe you need to check and see where you're at with God. Because listen, what John said was that it's not hard for me to live right because I love him. Hello, church. That's just good preaching. I have people come to preacher, you really think we ought to do that? If it's in the Bible, yes, we ought to do that. And it ought not be that hard because I love him. Notice John 15. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, if we get the love of God where it belongs in our life, there's something about a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You ever notice that if you're a happy person, people want to be around you? You can walk through the mall with a smile on your face and say anything you want to about people, and they'll, you can walk through there, hey, ugly, how you doing? As long as you're smiling, they don't hear exactly what you said, they'll come over and talk to you. Hello? Folks want to be around somebody that's happy. If all you do is grouch and gripe and complain, after a while, you're going to find out folk don't want to be around you. We had a guy pastored in our area one time. He came to my office at Beulah. I was sitting there reading one day, and he come up, knocked on the door, said, you got a minute? And I said, yeah. He come in, sat down, and he started in about this person didn't like him and that person didn't like him. And, you know, it was old poor pitiful me for about 30 minutes. And he said, what do you think? I said, I think I want you to go. You messing up my day. Glory. Hello? He said, do what? I said, I understand why folks don't want to be around you. I said, my Lord, it's one complaint after the other. I said, do you not have anything that makes you happy? He said, I like my birds. I said, well, then go out there and stay with them a few days. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. We need to get back to that joy again, where it's exciting to be living for God. Amen. Romans chapter 14, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, Paul, he had more right to gripe than anybody. Let's face it, ain't none of us ever went through what Paul went through to be a Christian. He stoned at one place for preaching a bad sermon. Left for dead, actually died, left the body. Can you imagine getting stoned to death, getting into heaven, and find out you ain't supposed to be there? That's a bummer if there ever was one. He gets to heaven, God says, what are you doing here? Well, they stoned me down to Lystra. Well, go get back in your body. Not only has he got to come back, but he's got to get in a body that was just beat to death with stones. And then he's got a topper. I'm finna make some of you mad, but don't chase after these people claim they went to heaven and come back. Ain't going to tell you what they saw. Because if this guy wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, couldn't tell us what he saw. Who are these people? I told you. I see some folks going, well, bless God, Brother Ken. Well, I'm just making a statement. Paul come back, and can you imagine every time somebody talk about heaven, he's going, because he can't tell them, because he knew. Hello? But they're getting ready to kill him. And I think that little experience of going to heaven when they blowed him around with them stones, he's sitting there thinking about what he felt when he was there, and they got there, and he hears them sharpen the guillotine. He said, oh, I made it. I've run my race. I've kept the faith, and now there's a crown of righteousness laid up on me, but not only me, but all those that make it in. And he's down there in that hole in the ground talking about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. You know what he said? He said, even in this hole, I ain't worried. I've got the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And because I got that joy, I'm an overcomer. Could you say amen to that, church? And he writes the church at Thessalonica. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Have that peace that pass all understanding, because my God is with me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We've got to come back to him. We've got to come back to that place where we need to be in God. Psalms 51, notice how David dealt with it in his prayer. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're sitting here this morning, you feel the Spirit of God touching you, you ought to get excited about that, because that means God's trying to get back into your life. He's knocking on the door. Amen. But notice what he said. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with my free spirit. You know why God likes to bring people back? Because everybody that comes back to God, that knows what it is to lose what they had and get it back, will say exactly what David said. Then will I teach other transgressors thy way. Hello? So what did he say? He said, because I've been there and done that, I'm going to help some more get converted so they'll understand what it is to feel what I feel when I feel like I feel right now. Church, the greatest thing ever happened to this old country boy was getting saved. And I can't stand it when I see people that don't know what I feel, and I want them to feel what I feel. That joy, that peace that only knowing God can have. Hello? We need that, church. Would you stand with me all over the house? Just a moment ago, I used a scripture out of Galatians chapter 4, when Paul asked them, where is the blessedness that you once spake of? The problem was, the church at Galatia walked in the presence of God and then suddenly just fell apart. They quit moving in the presence of the Lord. They quit having the move of God. The 5th chapter, Paul makes a statement. You did run well, but who doth hinder ye that ye should not obey the truth? For this persuasion cometh not of the one that called you. For that little bit of leaven has leavened the whole lump. That little bit of wrong has made it all wrong. Some of you this morning, under the sound of my voice, you did run well. There are people under the sound of my voice right now that I'm talking to that it might blow some people's mind if you walk to this altar. But it's not going to blow God's mind, because he knows. See, we look at the outer portion of a man, but God looks at what's inside. And he knows where we are. He knows what's going on in our life. He knows those things that we don't want nobody else to know. But you know, the great thing about him, he loves us anyway. Loves us so much, he wants to correct that's wrong. And he's left us a promise of his word, if you'll come back to me. The prophecy of Malachi was actually speaking to the whole of the Jewish nation, because God knew his son was coming. And if you would just repent and follow him, everything's going to be all right. Of course, we know that they rejected him as a whole. And he opened up the door for us as Gentiles to come to know him through the saving grace of his blood. But can I tell you, that's still a cry today, because there's still so many of us who once walked in the presence of God, moved in His power, who today have no joy. We can't seem to find peace anymore in our lives. Everything is just seems to be falling apart. But it's time to let God come into your life. And I say to you this morning, God speaking to His people in this building, saying, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And notice what He said He's going to do. I then will rebuke the devourer that has come against you. Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for Your love and mercy. Thank You, God, because You are a God who loves us just as we are. With every bad part, every ugly space, You love us, God. You died for us that we might have everlasting life. God, I commend this congregation into Your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Father God, I give You Your people. Lord, have Your way in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.